Well, good morning. We're grateful for your presence. I value the opportunity and am very excited to have this opportunity to share with you some thoughts from the Word of God and to particularly to continue our theme, The Gospel is for All, where Matt did an excellent job just a few weeks ago discussing Ready to Make a Defense. I will be discussing this morning the purpose of the gospel. And I have been, very excited to discuss this. The one thing that I haven't been as excited about is modern technology. And I'm not real comfortable with this. I kind of feel like our dog who has a fly that keeps trying to bite this. And some have said it's perhaps maybe a rock star. And if you look at me, I'm far from a rock star. And some said kind of a Mission Impossible. And you know, I guess there's a lesson in that, because when we have God, all things are possible. So welcome to our services this morning. If you're visiting with us, we want you to know that you're our special guest. If you have any questions following the lesson, please feel free to reach out and ask any questions that you have. For our purpose is to glorify God and do the things that He has commanded us to do. We have a place to go. That place is not here. We woke up this morning blessed with another day of freedom. Freedom is something that probably you and I oftentimes take for granted. Although with the current events in the world today, perhaps each of us realize and value our freedom even more. And the cost and the sacrifice that others made so that we can enjoy those rights and privileges that we are blessed with this day. For there are many who woke up this morning who have no knowledge of the freedom that you and I have, who would be willing to leave everything behind, land and hobbies, professions, family, money, to taste the freedom that you and I enjoy. I know of such a man, a doctor, who told me his story. Some years ago, he told me that they had escaped from Cuba as a boy, along with his mom and dad, and leaving everything behind to pursue freedom and all the many blessings that we are often so blind to. And I asked him, weren't you scared leaving everything behind, not knowing where you were going, not knowing what you would do, not knowing the language? And I remember the expression and the twinkle in his eyes as he was reliving that day many years later. And after a long pause, he said, scared. We were excited. We had never had freedom before. And as he smiled, reliving that day when they were set free, it seemed like he had forgotten about the other 20 patients who were growing impatient as he and I were discussing freedom in his office for about 10 minutes and probably would have slashed my tires if they knew that we were on a side discussion. But he said that they were given $100 when they arrived to America, and he said freedom. Freedom was everything. Freedom was a new beginning. It gave us a new purpose. It gave us a new hope. We were willing to do whatever we had to do to have freedom. Have you ever been to a land where there is no freedom? A place where evil is, a place where corruption is, a place of lies, a place of deceitfulness. I went to a distant land many years ago. A place where there was hatred by the ruler, the people infiltrated with sin, some wanting to escape and to leave that country, others, the majority, remaining because of their evil desires and their selfishness and ignorance to their loyalty to the evil ruler. A ruler who had no love for them, who had no commitment, only his selfish desire to keep them in bondage and to deceive them with lies. I have returned to that distant land on several occasions, so it is not a land that I like to go to. And you also have journeyed into that distant land, the far country. For the distant land is any place where God is not. Everything was good and perfect until you and I stepped into the distant land. A land called sin, its ruler Satan, his purpose, eternal destruction. A land of darkness, a land without hope, a land without love, a land without God. Our freedom gone. A freedom that you and I gave up. A freedom that you and I exchanged for the deceitfulness of sin. But we became servants of sin and unrighteousness because of our own loss. We have all been the prodigal son who went to the distant land. A land, any place where God is not. Welcome to the purpose of the gospel. The purpose of the gospel is to show you and I the righteousness of God. The purpose of the gospel is to show the power of God unto salvation to everyone who believes. The purpose of the gospel is to show the reconciliation of man back to God. The purpose of the gospel is to show our purpose and our transformation in Jesus Christ. And our final point this morning will be point number 5. And I'm not going to tell you, because if I tell you point number 5, there'll be 300 people who exit. And Josh Day and I will be left singing the Imitation Song. He's a good singer. I'm not. But each of these are not given equal time. So you don't have to be worried about point number 1, which is the longest. For they all tie over. And they all support each of the passages. Open your Bibles up. We'll begin in Romans chapter 1. We'll be looking at verses 15 through 18. Romans chapter 1. And Paul is speaking here, as he would say in Romans chapter 1, in verse 15, he said, I am eager to preach the gospel to you also who are in Rome. For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For in the gospel, the righteousness of God is revealed. Point number 1, the purpose of the gospel is to show the righteousness of God. If man had never sinned, man would be righteous. But Romans 3:23 finds you and I guilty, for it says, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And in Romans chapter 5, verse 12, it says, therefore, just as through one man sin entered into the world, and so death spread to sin, and death spread to all men because all have sinned. And Romans 6:23 says, the wages of sin is death. So because of sin, no man is righteous in God's eyes. And that is what the bondage of sin does, and where we would remain if it was not for the righteousness of God. None of our works will ever measure up to the standard of God. While it was impossible for man, God made it possible through Jesus Christ. Christ took our punishment for our sin so that we might become the righteousness of God. Through his life and through his death, through his burial and resurrection, we have been justified before God by Jesus Christ. So the purpose of the gospel reveals the way in which the righteousness of God makes men righteous in his sight. Everything was good and perfect when God created creation, a creation that glorified the Creator. As man and woman, Adam and Eve, walked righteously and blamelessly and had a perfect relationship with God. Yet in a moment of time, man disobeyed God, and the fall of man began because the man's disobedience to God created sin. And sin separated man from God, because in God there is no sin. And the fall of man continued to spiral. Because sin brought forth death, sin brought forth bondage, sin brought need for a reconciliation, sin brought the need for a sacrifice. But not just any sacrifice. For you and I are not just any creation. We are God's unique and special creation. We were created in His likeness. We were created in His image. Jesus came to seek and save the lost. Matthew 18 and 11. And since all have sinned, Jesus came to save all of mankind. We are all the prodigal son. We are all the lost. For when we sinned, we left God and we entered the distant land. The land of sin, the land of separation, the land of temporary pleasure, the land of no hope. A land where we exchanged our freedom for bondage. A land of no escape because of the power of sin and its evil ruler. Where no man, no wealth, no sacrifice of bulls or goats had the power to cleanse our sin-stained soul. Because nothing created could reconcile our soul back to God because of our eternal, priceless value to God. We were in the land of eternal bankruptcy. Righteousness is not something that you and I can obtain on our own strength. The Bible would tell us in Romans 3 verse 10 that there is none righteous, no, not one. Righteous can only come from God through the righteous one, Jesus Christ. In John chapter 1, looking at verse 8 and 9, and in verse 8 of John chapter 1, it says, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, God is faithful, and God is righteous, to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. God is righteous, we are unrighteous. All unrighteousness is sin. And in Romans chapter 3, looking at verses 21 through 25, Romans chapter 3, in verse 21 it begins, but now apart from the law, the righteousness of God has been manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. Even the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ for all those who believe. For there is no distinction, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified as a gift by His grace through the redemption which is in Jesus Christ, for whom God displayed publicly as a propitiation in His blood through faith. This was to demonstrate His righteousness. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21, it says, He made Him who knew no sin to be sin on our behalf, so that we might become the righteousness of God in Him. Jesus took our penalty. Jesus took our punishment. Jesus is the offering God made unto Himself. There was no freedom from the bondage of sin except in Jesus Christ. Maybe you're carrying around the guilt or regret or shame about decisions that you've made in your life. We've all made bad decisions. We've all made miserable mistakes. We all have sinned. There is none righteous, no, not one. Or maybe you thought about turning to God for a new beginning, but you believe that you could never be forgiven. Isn't it the good news to know that God already prepared that way to come home unto the Father through His Son, Jesus Christ? And that is exactly the purpose of the gospel. The good news is to let you and I know that because of the righteousness of God, that we will never have a moment where God will not be faithful. We will never have a moment when God is not available. And we will never have a moment when we are not forgivable. God is always there for you and I. The purpose of the gospel is to show you and I the righteousness of God. And point number two, the purpose of the gospel is to show the power of God unto salvation to everyone who believes. We serve a God who is uncreated, who is beginningless, who is from everlasting to everlasting, who created the world and everything in it, who keeps everything in the universe going, from the smallest molecules throughout all the stars, so that all the stars and molecules would work in perfect harmony with His design and His purpose, where everything was created for Him and by Him, and through Him all things exist. And that is why God tells Moses, I am who I am. I am the light. I am the door. I am the bread of life. I am the way. I am the truth. I am the vine. I am the good shepherd. I am the resurrection and the life. I am God and there is no other. There is a God and He is alive. In Him we live and we survive. From dust, our God created man. He is our God. He is the great I Am. The gospel contains the omnipotence or the power of God. Only the gospel has the power to transform the lives of man through Jesus Christ. Only God's power can save men from sin and give them eternal life. And that's why Paul would say, I proclaim the gospel boldly because it is the power of God. And in 2 Peter chapter 1 and 3, it defines that power. And in 2 Peter chapter 1 verse 3, it says, seeing that His divine power, this just isn't any power, His divine power has granted to who? Has granted to us everything. His divine power has granted to us everything that pertains to life and to godliness. The purpose of the gospel is to show God's power. God's power is through the Savior of the world, Jesus Christ. God's power for salvation is the good news about who Jesus is and what Jesus has done for us. God's salvation is available to everyone who will believe. No one is excluded from God's salvation. God is no respecter of persons. There is no one who is not forgivable. There is no sin that cannot be forgiven. Jesus was not only the Savior of the Jews, but the Savior of the world. If you haven't reached out to the saving grace and the mercy of Jesus Christ, if you haven't been cleansed by the power in His blood through the watery grave of baptism, then you will never be lifted out of the bondage of sin. You will never have spiritual freedom. You will never have forgiveness of sins. You will never have deliverance from sin. You will never have deliverance from the wrath of God on the day of salvation. Salvation is understanding that nothing within us can make us right with God. There is no created power. There is no created sacrifice. There is no payment for salvation except through Jesus Christ. Jesus took our penalty for our sin on the cross. By dying in our place, being buried, and rising from the dead. And that's what 1 Corinthians chapter 1 verse 18 reminds us. It says, For the word of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing. But to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. The power of God accomplishes what it is supposed to do and what it is intended to do. For there is no power that can stand up against God. Believing and obeying the gospel is not only how you get released, from the penalty of sin, but it is also the how you get release from the power of sin through the power of God. Every person you see has the opportunity to have their lives transformed through the power of the gospel. And the good news about the gospel to each of us is that embedded in the gospel are all the resources that we need to become everything that God wants us to be and everything that God expects us to be. The purpose of the gospel is to show the power of God unto salvation for everyone who believes. And point number three, the purpose of the gospel is to show the reconciliation of man back to God. There was a man and woman who had been married for over 60 years. They were high school sweethearts, so they had known one another pretty much all their lives. And they had obviously developed a special bond and special relationships. And through those years, they had developed a special word that was very unique to the two of them. And that word was smiley, spelled S-H-M-I-L-Y. And it is said that sometimes Grandma would lean over the dinner table and write smiley across Grandpa's napkin. And Grandpa, not to be outdone, would pick up the pen and write smiley across her napkin. That went through many years with the word smiley sometimes written in the most peculiar places at the peculiar times, randomly written on pieces of paper hidden for the other to find. Smiley was written in time of sickness, in times of joy and laughter, in times of hard days, in times of difficulties, in times of disappointments. But smiley was one of the most important words that they conveyed to one another. Grandma soon became ill and her time was near. And as she lay in her bed, sedated by medication and unable to speak, Grandpa, in yellow letters, her favorite color yellow, wrote smiley across the wall so that when she would periodically open her eyes, she would see the word smiley, which created a grin because it was a special word, a special meaning, for a special person that it came from. And at the funeral, the room was covered with yellow flowers with the word smiley written across the ribbons. And one of the grandkids, not knowing the meaning of smiley and thinking that smiley was misspelled, went up to said, "Grandpa, why is smiley misspelled and what does smiley mean?" Well, Grandpa picked up his granddaughter and with a tear running down his eye said, "Smiley. Smiley. Smiley is not misspelled. S-H-M-I-L-Y are six special words between your grandma and I and stand for see how much I love you." And isn't that what Jesus said to you and I at the cross of Calvary, being led like an animal to Golgotha, the place of the skull, a crown of thorns embedded on his head, ridiculed and mocked, nailed to a cross, a body suspended between heaven and earth. There he bore the weight of the world on his shoulders. For you and I, because of our sin. See how much I love you. For God so loved the world that he gave. See how much I love you. And in Romans chapter 5, verses 8 through 11, referred to it earlier as we partook of the Lord's Supper. But God demonstrates his own love towards us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more than having been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from the wrath of God through him. For while we were yet sinners, or while we were yet enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his Son. Much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. Both the creation of mankind and the sacrifice of Jesus for his people demonstrate for us the very special place and the relationship that mankind holds in the heart of God himself. The purpose of the gospel is to reconcile man back to God. And point number 4, the purpose of the gospel is to show you and I our purpose and our transformation in Jesus Christ. The purpose of your life is far greater than your own personal fulfillment. It is far greater than your own peace of mind. It is far greater than your own happiness. It is far greater than your family, than your career, your education, your ambition, your dreams, your imaginations. If you want to know why you were placed on this earth, then you have to begin with God, because God created you. You were born for his purpose and by his purpose. You can reach all your personal goals. You can become a success in the eyes of the world and still miss the purpose for which God created you. You weren't put on this earth to be remembered. You were put on this earth to glorify God. You were put on this earth to prepare for eternity. Your relationship with God on this earth will determine your relationship with him in eternity. This is not your permanent home. This is not your destination. The Bible uses terms like aliens and pilgrims and foreigners and strangers to describe our brief stay here on this earth. But so oftentimes we get caught up in the glitters of the world, and we fail to realize the purpose of our life. The purpose of our life is to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. The purpose of our life is to hunger and thirst after righteousness. It is to glorify God, to live for the will of God, to follow in the steps of Christ, and to be followers of God. To be people who are holy in conduct and godliness, looking for the coming of the day of the Lord. There are many passages that we could turn to, time would fail me. But the purpose of our life is to trust and obey God. To do what God tells us to do in his inspired word. For the whole duty of man is to fear God and keep his commandments. That's it. Our purpose is not about our life's accomplishments. The purpose of the gospel is not to sit idle in the pages of God's word, but its purpose is to be preached to the billions of the people throughout the world so that they might have that opportunity to be transformed into a child of God. And when we yield our life to Jesus Christ and we let the love of Christ control us, then our life will never be the same. If we live for the Lord. If we die for the Lord. So whether we live or whether we die, we are the Lord's. Romans chapter 14, 7 and 8. And that is the good news of the gospel. You and I belong to God. So our purpose is to do whatever God instructs us to do. For God has always and will always have our best interest at heart. So that we could have that relationship with him, to walk in his light, to walk in his love, so that we could walk with him eternally in heaven. The purpose of the gospel is to show you and I our purpose and our transformation in Jesus Christ. In closing, I would like to share with you a story, our point number five. The purpose of the gospel is to show you and I that the best is yet to come. There was a young woman who had been diagnosed with a terminal illness and was given only 3 months to live. And as she began to put things in order, she called the preacher to discuss her final wishes, of the verses that she wanted to be read, of the songs that she wanted to be sung. And she showed him the dress that she was going to be buried in, and she said, "There's one final request that I would make, and this is very important to me." She said, "When I am placed in my casket, I want to have a fork. I want to have a dinner fork placed in my right hand," where she went on to explain. "And all my years of attending restaurants and family reunions and get-together, when the dishes for the main meal were being cleaned, inevitably someone would always lean over and say, 'Keep your fork, for the best is yet to come.' It was my favorite part because I knew something better was coming. Like velvety chocolate cake or a deep dish apple pie. So when people look into my casket, I want them to see the fork in my right hand. And to not feel sorry for me. For I want you to tell them that I know that the best is yet to come." And so it is with you and I. Being children of God, being baptized into the name of Jesus Christ, to know that the best is yet to come through the victory that we have in Jesus Christ. And that's why Paul was so eager to preach the gospel. The best is yet to come. We have all been the prodigal son. We have all sinned. We have all been in the distant land, the land where God is not, the land of sin. And we all have the need to be freed from the bondage of sin and the freedom that is only in Jesus Christ. And may each of us resurface that passion, that excitement, the appreciation, and value the freedom that we have in Jesus Christ. For spiritual freedom is everything. For if we missed heaven, we just missed all there is. It is only Jesus who can give you and I a new beginning, a new hope, a new purpose. For the purpose of the gospel is to show you and I the righteousness of God. The purpose of the gospel is to show the power of God into salvation to everyone who believes. The purpose of the gospel is to show the reconciliation of man back to God. The purpose of the gospel is to show you and I our purpose, our transformation in Jesus Christ. And the purpose of the gospel is to show you and I that the best is yet to come. God is ever so tenderly calling for you to come home. Come home to the Father through Jesus Christ. You don't belong in that distant land because Jesus has set you free. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. If we can assist in any way, we ask that you please come forward as we stand and sing.